You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What does it take to be a first-class Christian?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
We are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son. With that grace of yours, give us life, real life, in confident faith that you love us and care about us. Give us the courage to love as you have loved us, that we may be real people with real love, living real lives with Jesus Christ himself in our hearts. We pray in his saving and life-giving name. Amen. There have always been arguments about what it takes to be a Christian. Some people say this, and others say that. Even people who are turned off by the superficiality of some Christians and the obvious sham of others will say about someone they know, now he is really a Christian. She is a first-class Christian. What does it take to be a first-class Christian? Instead of trying to answer that question ourselves, let's permit St. Paul to answer it for us. In a great chapter, the 12th of Romans, he appeals to Christian people as brothers to be really Christian, first-class Christian. By the mercies of God, he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, and what is good, and acceptable, and perfect. The first thing you notice about a first-class Christian is that God comes first. The first thing you notice about someone who's just playing the game of being Christian is that he himself comes first. And the name of God gets dragged in every now and then in order to justify his prejudices or to satisfy his desires. A lot of people think it is handy to have God around. They can use him. It's give me this or give me that. It's good to know that you're waiting around God to hear my commands. You can easily get into the habit of serving an automobile instead of letting it serve you. I've known people who are more concerned about the rattles in their car than they are about the worries of a wife or the problems of their children. It's crazy when you think about it, but that's the way a lot of people live. Things are terribly important, the things they possess. Other people get to be treated like things, even people who are near and dear, members of the same family. If you can't control them and make use of them, forget them. That's not the way of people who put God first. They begin to put first things first, too. It doesn't always happen that way right away, but it happens. I talked to a man recently who had just come through a siege of terrible illness, a series of problems that included a heart condition, bad back, hives, and a number of other ailments, one on top of the other. He was driving me along in his car, seemingly in perfect health now, except that the back bothered him every now and then. But he was a lot healthier in mind than he had ever been. He learned to sort things out after a serious operation for an aneurysm that all but took his life. He had been a Christian before, but something had happened to make him a first-class Christian. One of the things I noticed is that he's not nearly as cocksure about himself as I had known him to be before. I didn't find this cocksure attitude an unattractive quality in him before, but now I could see something much greater. He was sure, sure of God and sure of himself. A distinguished surgeon had stayed up all night with him and refused to leave the hospital until his patient was out of danger. That surgeon just happened to be in the hospital, unknown to my friend, when he was brought into the emergency room. Friends came down late at night and stood outside the room, not wanting to disturb him, but he could hear them asking the nurses how he was. Things are not so important. God is. So are people. People are important because God is important. Don't be conformed to this world, said St. Paul. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold of worshiping things. Be transformed by the renewal of your minds. Let your minds be remade and your whole outlook transformed, and you will be able to discern the will of God and to know what is good and acceptable and perfect. What is the will of God? What is his will for you? The moment I ask that question, some of you begin to think immediately about your prospects for tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. Young people think that way, and so do older people. What is the will of God for you? Jesus Christ answers that question for you. It is his will that you believe in God and in Jesus Christ whom he has sent. We see the will of God in Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, said St. Paul, that you have in Jesus Christ. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. That's what he did, because it was the will of God for him. It is the will of God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son, that you believe in him and have life. In Jesus Christ, he forgives you. And in Jesus Christ, he gives you life. That's the will of God. Get the mind that you have in Jesus Christ. It's a mind that puts God first and doesn't let human pride stand in the way of doing that. Jesus Christ put his Father first, and he had a great heart for people. He died for people, not for himself, but for you. That's God. He has a heart for people. He died for people. He was raised from the dead and lives to give life to people. You're one of those people, aren't you? Well, then it's for you. What's a first-class Christian? It's somebody who has learned to put God first because he believes in Jesus Christ. Putting God first with faith in Jesus Christ. A first-class Christian has got to have a heart for people. He actually puts someone else first in his life, before himself. That's love. Don't let anybody say that love is impossible or that it is impractical. It's possible with faith in Jesus Christ, and it is the most practical thing in the whole world. It really works where nothing else works. St. Paul was talking about a practical thing when he urged people to present themselves by the mercies of God, even their bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, with the worship of their hearts and minds. By the grace given to me, said St. Paul, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned you. For as in one body we have many members, and all members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. To go that way is to go first class. It's a different kind of first class, I must admit, from what people usually think of as first class. having people waiting on you hand and foot, buttering you up, making you feel as if you're bigger than you really are. Now, this is really first class. It's the stuff of which life is really made. It brings regard within and respect without. It's not spoiled with that false pride that makes life itself a kind of sham. This is life, real life, with God and His grace at its heart and core. By the grace of God given to me, said St. Paul, I have learned something really great. I didn't have it before, but I have it now. You can see it in me. I'm not that insufferable and self-righteous character I was before I met Jesus Christ. I've really changed. Or rather, God, by His grace, has really changed me. It wasn't I, but He. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I take myself realistically because He has accepted me as a member of His family by faith in Jesus Christ. I see myself as I am, forgiven by God in His grace for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ. I've come to know Christ, and He makes everything different. He made me different. He transformed me and gave me a real heart for people that I never had before. I learned to love where I was never able to love before. I don't have to downgrade myself, and I don't have to build myself up. I accept myself as God has accepted me in Jesus Christ. I know Christ, and all in all, Christ is Lord. Because of Jesus Christ, Paul said, I've become a member of the family. By faith in Jesus Christ, I'm a real son of God, not a bastard as I once was. I belong, and so does everyone else who is a son or daughter of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We don't have to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but we can think realistically with a sober estimate of ourselves, based on the measure of faith that God has dealt to each one of us. Just as in a single human body, there are many limbs and organs, all with different functions, so all of us, united with Christ, form one body, His body, serving individually as limbs and organs to one another. It's a first-class Christian who learns by faith in Jesus Christ to see himself as he is, not thinking of himself more highly than he ought to think, and also not discounting the grace of God that has been given to him to do for God and people as he ought to do. Having gifts, said Paul, that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, he who teaches, in his teaching, he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who contributes in liberality, he who gives aid with zeal, he who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Do you want to go first class as a Christian? This is the way. I've seen a lot of people like that. Most of them are quite ordinary. They throw themselves into the cause of Christ with no special ambitions and no particular axe to grind. They are just themselves, living real life with all the problems other people have, but always overcoming somehow with faith in Jesus Christ that He is Lord and that things will fit into a pattern for good to all who love God with all their hearts. They reach out to others and do things for others, always serving the Lord at work, at home, at play, no matter where they are. They're always serving the Lord. Our family has a great friend who is a member of a congregation that I served some years ago. She still teaches children of preschool age, and she's been doing that for about 50 years. A distinguished Roman Catholic priest told me about her that when she was 18 years old, she taught him his first Bible stories, just gathering the children of the neighborhood around her and doing what came naturally to her. She can do this without pretension because that's the way she is. She loves, and she communicates love. Children love her. All of our children remember her with great affection. She serves as a secretary in a law firm, making out income taxes for people who trust her with the most private information they have. You can trust somebody who's heart and soul for the Lord, not thinking of herself more highly than she ought to think, and doing her job with competence and with personal regard for the people she serves, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. Many Christians have to break out of the stuffiness with which they have surrounded themselves. Christians must be open to the gift of the Spirit. There are all kinds of ways in which this can be done. But in every case, you will find someone who knows what the psalmist was talking about when he said, "Serve the Lord with gladness." The gifts we possess differ as they are allotted to us by the grace of God. I'm not you, and you are not me. Gifts that differ must be exercised accordingly. If someone proclaims the good news of God, as I'm telling it to you today, let him do it with the faith God gives. If someone has been given a heart of service by God, let him do a good job in serving. The cause of Christ has been dependent on teachers down through the years. Anyone who has the gift of teaching, let him exercise the gift God gives in his teaching. Contributing is a great thing for people who are Christians. It's the heart of life for people who are Christians. Going first class is to give and to give again. That's Christian. Anyone who has been given the gift of giving can do it with liberality. There's nothing finer that Christians ever do than to give help to other people. Going to visit someone in a hospital or someone who is old is a great thing. Going first class as a Christian, you can do that with enthusiasm. Cheerfulness is the mark of a Christian. St. Paul quotes the Lord himself as saying, "It is a cheerful, happy, and blessed thing to give more than it is to receive." First-class Christians hear the word of God and do it. They excel in doing. They welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, and visit the sick and imprisoned. They put up a fight for other people who are having a hard time. They're great, even though sometimes they are criticized for their efforts. But they don't care because they love the Lord. It may be a little hard for other people to understand, but that is first-class living. One thing is clear from what St. Paul says. There are all kinds of people in God's camp. He gives grace to all kinds, the same grace that forgives everyone and everything. He gives real life, first-class life. By his grace, God gives special gifts of various kinds to different kinds of people. He expects them to recognize a gift when they see one, and then to use it as a gift. He wants his people to use their gifts with love. As he is love, he expects his people to love. The Lord said he had left one commandment to his people, to show love. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, that you love one another. St. Paul echoed that. Let love be genuine, he said. Love is not blind. Hate what is evil, but hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. The Lord always comes first. Serve the Lord. Serve him in love, with the Spirit aglow, the Spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ, whom God himself sends into the hearts of his people, so that they commit themselves to him in faith and let him be Lord in their lives. First-class Christians are doers in love, not hearers only, but doers of the word. They have faith and they practice their faith. They have hope and they live in hope, aglow with the Spirit, serving the Lord. They rejoice in hope, are patient in tribulation, constant in prayer. As one last thing, said St. Paul, for people who want to be first-class Christians, with unflagging energy, in ardor of spirit, serving the Lord, joyful in hope, standing firm in trouble, consistent in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and practice hospitality. That's life. Magnificent, open-ended life. What a great life it is to know the Lord, to trust the Lord, and to serve the Lord, to have a heart for people like the heart of the Lord. What a great life it is. It is great. It is super. It is absolutely first class. Amen.
Listening to a recorded copy of a Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Mass Media Department of the Lutheran Layman's League.